jina Magita Juice insemmilkom u nilqakom għal programm ieħor il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. U f'dan il-programm qed neżaminaw il-kultura ta' tribujiet Amerikani biex niskopru aktar ħrejjef. Fil-programm tal-lum ukoll għandna ħrejjef kurjużi, misterjużi u kultant makabri, pat-tifel li kien maħsub li kien qed joqtol l-itfal billi jaqtalhom insienhom. Jew forsi kienet xi entità misterjuża. Min jaf? Qabel ma niġu għal din il-ħrafa ta' min isemmi li dawn it-tribujiet Amerikani Indjani kienu jħossuhom imdawrin bl-ispirti. Isħab, ix-xemx, il-pjanti, it-temp, l-istaġuni, iż-żmien, il-lejl, l-istilel, ir-rieħ, l-ilma, kollox kien abbinat ma' spirtu. U kull tribu kellu spirti oħra partikolari għal dak it-tribu. Jekk nikkonċentraw biss fuq it-tribu tal-Wabanaki, insibu li kienu jemnu f'ħafna spirti. Dawn il-Wabanaki, billi irnexxielhom jerġgħu jakkwistaw ċerta proprjetà u drittijiet, għadhom jgħixu ġomejn, fej kienu jgħixu żmien twililu. Daw jisejħu People of the Downland. Il-Maliseet, il-Mi'kmaq, il-Penobscot u il-Passamaquoddy huma t-tribujiet li jiffurmaw parti minn dan it-tribu tal-Wabanaki. Huma jemnu fil-Badoġjak, l-ispirti tan-natura, tal-maltemp, tar-rat u s-sajjetti, magħrufin ukoll bħala is-Seven Thunders. Dawn huma seba' irġiel aħwa li spiss jiġġieldu. Il-ħoss tal-ġliet ta' dawn il-gwerriera jinstema' bħala rat. Is-sajjetti jiġu mid-dawl li joħroġ minn għajnejhom. Daw kultant jidru bħala safar u kultant bħala bdejt min. Jista' jkollhom il-ġwienaħ ukoll xahar twil isfar u kien jitħaltu mal-Indjani fiż-żwieġ. Lat Wisk Niġes huwa l-ispirtu tan-natura u l-foresti huwa responsabbli mit-twaqqieħ tas-siġar. Isimgħu din il-ħrafa bl-isem ta' At Wisk Niġes. Seeing a smoke come from the top of a mountain, the children asked the elders what it was or who could live there. And the fathers told them, "That is the home of Al-Wusk Niġes, a tree cutter, whose hatchet is made of stone. He throws it from him. It cuts the tree and returns to his master's hand at each blow. One stroke of his hatchet will fell the largest tree. No one ever saw him, save Glooskabe, who often goes to the cave to visit him. He's a harmless creature, and only fights when ordered to do so by Glooskabe. He lives in that mountain on deer, moose, or any meat he can kill. Sometimes he goes out to sea with Glooskabe to catch Kchibutep, the great whale."
Al-Wusk Niġes and Kiawaq once had a big fight, which lasted for 2 days. Kiawaq put forth all his power to conquer, but failed. He uprooted huge trees, expecting them to fall and crush his rival in strength. But Al-Wusk Niġes would hurl his hatchet and split the tree asunder. Kiawaq strove to drag him into the sea, but the wood spirit is as strong in the water as on land. To say nothing of the fact that when he is in the water, Kchiquin Okch, the turtle, comes to his aid. Once, Kiawaq got his foe between 2 great trees and felt sure he could slay him as they fell. Al-Wusk Niġes seized his axe and struck the trees which fell. The wind caused by their fall was so mighty that it left Kiawaq faint and exhausted. He was forced to beg for quarter and promised his enemy that he would spare his life. He would give him a stone wigwam and be his good friend forever. So the wood spirit had mercy and accepted his offer. That is how he got that cave where he still lives.
Tiftakru li semmejtilkom fil-bidu dwar dak it-tifel li kien maħsub li kien qiegħed jaqta' l-sien tfal oħra.
Awnu, medicine man. Bil-fatt ek jissejjaħ Gwela bħot. Jew Glooskap li huwa l-ispirtu tal-medicina. Wara bidu kemm xejn makabru dan medicine man magħruf ukoll bħala turnover, ifejjaq lill-morda u jagħlem lin-nies is-sigriti taħxejjex. Dan it-tifel kien imwieled minn xebba ta' tribu tal-Wabanaki wara li din kienet daqgħet ħaxixa maġika. Biex tifhmu aħjar da kollu, isimgħu din il-ħrafa dwar medicine man u taraw kemm misterjuża u makabra. A Passamaquoddy Indian woman traveled constantly back and forth through the woods. From every bush she came to, she bit off a twig, and from one of these she became pregnant. Bigger and bigger she grew, until at last she could not travel. But she built a wigwam near the mouth of a fresh running stream. In the night, the woman gave birth to a child. She thought at first that she could kill the child. Finally, she decided to make a bark canoe in which she placed her child. She set it adrift and let it float down the stream. Though the water was rough in places, the child was not harmed or even wet. The canoe floated to an Indian village where it became stranded on the sandy shore near a group of wigwams. One of the women found the baby and brought it to her home. Every morning thereafter, it seemed that a baby of the village died. The villagers did not know what the matter was with their babies. A neighbor noticed how the rescued child toddled off to the river every night and returned shortly after. She wondered if this could have anything to do with the death of so many babies. Then she saw the child return to its wigwam with a small tongue, roast it and eat it. Then it lay down to sleep all night. The next morning, a report circulated that another child had died. Then the Indian woman was certain she knew who the killer was. She alerted the parents of the dead child and found that the child's tongue had been removed and the child had bled to death. Tribal deliberations were held to decide what should be done with the murderer. Some said, "Cut up the person and throw him into the river." Others said, "Burn the fragments." This they did after much consultation. They burned the fragments of the wayward child until nothing but its ashes remained. Naturally, everyone understood the child was dead. But that night, it came back to camp again with a small tongue which it roasted and ate. The next morning, another child was found to have died in the night. The weird child was found sleeping in its usual place, just as before its cremation. He said to everyone that he would never kill any more children, and that now he had become a big boy, in fact. The big boy announced he would take one of his bones out of his side. This he started to do, and all of his bones spilled out of his body at the same time. He closed his eyes by drawing his fingers over his eyelids, hiding his eyes. He could not move without bones, and he began to grow very fat. He surprised the Passamaquoddies by becoming a great medicine man. Anything they desired within reason, he granted. Later, however, his tribe moved away from their old camp. Before they left, they built a fine wigwam for the medicine man. So accustomed had they become to call upon his powers that they still returned to make their requests. His tribal members asked him for medicine of all kinds. When he granted their wishes, he asked them, "Turn me over, and you will find your medicine beneath me." A young man came and wished to have the love of a woman, so he asked for a love potion. The medicine man said, "Turn me over." The young man turned over the conjurer and found a herb. "You must not give this away or throw it away," said the old man. The young Passamaquoddy went back to his own wigwam. Soon he was aware that all the young women followed him in the camp at all times. In fact, he longed to be alone for a change. He did not like to be chased by the women. At last, when he became too troubled by the tribal women, he returned to the medicine man and gave back the herbal love potion. the young Passamaquoddy left without it. Another young man went to the conjurer for help. The medicine man asked, "What is it you want?" This man said, "I want to live as long as the world shall stand." "Your request is a hard one to consider, but I will do my best to answer it," replied the medicine man. "Now turn me over." And underneath his body was a herb. He said, "Go to a place that is bare of everything, so bare it is destitute of all vegetation, and just stand there." The medicine man pointed out this direction for the young man. The young man went according to the medicine man's instructions, but looking back at the conjurer, the standing man saw branches and twigs sprouting all over his own body. He had been changed into a cedar tree, to stand there forever, useless to everyone. Questa esistu spirti ħafniktar simpatiċi, però daqstant misterjużi u kurjużi. Il-lam pegwin li fil-fattu ma sireni. Isimaw din is-silta minn din il-ħrafa. The Merry Tales of Lox, the Mischief Maker. U taraw kemm huma ħelwin dawn il-lam pegwin. Now it befell Martin, as it might have befallen any other man, that one day he came to a distant and lonely lake in the mountains. Yet there, stepping softly as a cat, behind the rocks, hung with grapevines, he heard laughing and splashing, and the pleasant sound as of girls' voices. So peeping carefully, he saw many maids merrily bathing in the lake, and these were of the fairy race, who dwell in deep waters and dark caves, and keep away from mankind. And seeing their garments lying on the shore, and beholding among the damsels one whom he desired to obtain, Martin quietly slipped along unseen, as all of his species can do, till he had the clothes in his hands. For being tinctured with magic, and learned in the lore of all kind of goblins, elves and witches, Master Martin knew that when naiads are naked and a man has their garments, he holds them at his mercy. For in the apparel lies their fairy power, and if you doubt it, do but give it a trial and see for yourself. And having done this, the merry fellow ran inland with a brave whoop, which the fairies, hearing, they, in a great rage, ran after the ravisher of their robes. But she whom he desired outstripped the rest, and when she approached him, he did but tap her lightly on the head with a small stick, according to a certain ancient prescription followed in fairyland, which makes of a woman a wife. Whereupon she, according to the antique rite, being astonished to find herself so suddenly married, fainted dead away and was carried off in peace. And as for the clothes of the others, the Martin gave them back without taking fee or rewards. Imbagħad hemm l-irġiel iż-żgħar ta' xmara, il-Mano Gemasak, u dawn joħolqu ħafna problemi għas-sajjieda. Huwa maħsub li dawn l-ispirti li bl-Ingliżi sejħu elves jgħixu ġol-blat, u jagħmlu skulturi tagħhom ġottajn u t-tafal li jixbħu ħafna l-annimali u l-nies li jġibu r-ris lill-minisibhom. U l-ħrafa li għandi għalikom issa hija misterjuża daqs il-passat ta' dawn it-tribujiet u hija kemm xejn ta' swit il-qalb. Hawnhekk se naraw kemm l-Indjan din il-ħrafa jipprova jilħaq dak l-istat ta' Nirvana. U koll meta affaċċjat ma' destin kiefer u jagħmel minn kollox biex ma jħallix l-affarijiet temporali jiddominaw fuq dak sopranaturali. Din l-istorja ġiet irrakkontata minn Indjan ta' tribù tal-Wabanaki, eżattament tal-Passamaquoddy, bl-isem ta' Thomas Joseph. Din il-ħrafa jissemmew ukoll il-Mikumwess li ukoll huma spirti tal-foresta, li huma ħelwin kemm tridhom sakemm ma tonqsilhomx mir-rispett. Mela ejjew nisimgħuha The Mournful Mystery of the Partridge Witch. Of the olden time, two brothers went hunting in the autumn, as far as the headwaters of the Penobscot, where they remained all winter. But in March their snowshoes gave out, as did their moccasins, and they wished that a woman was there to mend them. When the younger brother returned first to the lodge the next day, which he generally did, to get it ready for the elder, he was astonished to find that someone had been there before him, and that, too, in the housekeeping, for garments had been mended, the place cleaned and swept, a fire built, and a pot was boiling. He said nothing of this to his brother, but returning the next day at the same time, he found that all had been attended to, as at first, and again he said nothing. But in the morning, when he went forth to hunt, he did but go a little way, and returning, watched, from a hidden place, the door. And there came a beautiful and graceful girl, well attired, who entered the wigwam, and he, stepping softly, looking through a hole in the hut, saw her very busy with his housekeeping. Then he entered, and she seemed to be greatly alarmed and confused, but he calmed her, and they soon became good friends, sporting together very happily all day long like children, for indeed they were both young. When the sun's height was little and his shadows long, the girl said, "I must go now. I hear your brother coming, and I fear him, but I will return tomorrow." So she came in the morning, and hearing from the younger that his brother had consented to her coming, was very glad, and went away as in haste. But she returned about noon, drawing a toboggan, piled with garments and arms, for she was a huntress. Indeed, she could do all things, as few women could, whether it was cooking, needlework, doing all that men need. And the winter passed very pleasantly, until the snow grew soft, and it was time for them to return. Till she came, they had had little luck in hunting, but since her coming all had gone well with them, and they now had a wonderful quantity of furs. Then they returned in a canoe down the river to their village. But as they came near it, the girl grew sad, for she had thrown out her soul to their home, though they knew it not. And suddenly she said, as they came to a point of land, "Here I must leave. I can go no further. Say nothing of me to your parents, for your father would have but little love for me." And the young men sought to persuade her, but she only answered sorrowfully, "It cannot be." So they came home with their fares, and the elder was so proud of their luck and their strange adventure that he could not hold his peace, but told all. Then his father was very angry and said, "All my life have I feared this. Know that this woman was a devil of the woods, a witch of the Michihunt, a sister of the Una Gomez and the Ketaks." And he spoke so earnestly and so long of this thing that they were afraid, and the elder, being persuaded by the sire, went forth to slay her, and the younger followed him afar. So they sought her by the stream and found her bathing, and seeing them, she ran up a little hill. And as she ran, the elder shot an arrow at her. Then there was a strange flurry about her, a fluttering of scattered feathers, and they saw her fly away as a partridge. Returning, they told all this to their father, who said, "You did well. I know all about these female devils who seek to destroy men, these goblins and ghosts. Verily, this was a she Micumwes." But the younger could not forget her, and longed to see her again. So one day he went into the woods, and there he indeed found her, and she was as kind as before. Then he said, "Truly it was not by my good will that my brother shot at you." And she answered, "Well do I know that, and that it was all by your father. Yet I blame him not, for this is an affair of Incarnayu, the days of old. And even yet it is not at an end, and the greatest is to come. But let the day be only a day unto itself. The things of tomorrow are for tomorrow, and those of yesterday are departed." So they forgot their troubles, and play together merrily all day long in the woods and in the open places, and told stories of old times till sunset. And as the kakagoos, the crow, went to his tree, the boy said, "I must return." And she replied, "Whenever you would see me, come to the woods, and remember what I say. Do not marry anyone else, for your father wishes you to do so, and he will speak of it to you, and that soon. Yet it is for your sake only that I say this." Then she told him word by word all that his father had said. But he was not astonished, for now he knew that she was not as other women, but he cared not. And he grew brave and bold. And then he was above all things. And when she told him that if he should marry another he would surely die, it was as nothing to him. Then, returning, the first thing his father said was, "My son, I have provided a wife for you, and the wedding must be at once." And he said, "It is well, let it be so." Then the bride came. For 4 days they held the wedding dance, 4 days they feasted. But on the last day he said, "This is the end of it all." And he laid him down on a white bearskin, and a great sickness came upon him. And when they brought the bride to him, he was dead. Truly the father knew what ailed him, and more withal, of which he said nothing. But he liked the place no longer, and he and his family went away therefrom and scattered far and wide. It-tributa l-Arapaho li oriġinaw minn postijiet pal Wyoming, Oklahoma u Montana jemnu fil-Cannibal Dwarves, magħrufin pala Heches i Teji, li kellhom saħħa u aggressività kbira u kienu gwerriera kbar. Kienu wkoll edewwa ta' tribù tal-Arapaho. Il-Pakwaġġi huwa spiritu magħruf mal-biċċa l-kbira ta' tribujiet u jingħad li kien jisraq it-tfal. Kif qegħdin taraw il-kultura ta' dawn it-tribujiet hija mimlija maġija, misteri, biża u superstizzjonijiet. Ukoll annimali kellhom l-irwol tagħhom, iċ-ċerva, ukoll kienet meqjusa bħala spirtu. Kien hemm fenek kurjuż ħafna li kellu l-qrun tal-antilope u kienu jsejħulu il-jackalope. Kien hemm kastur li bl-Ingliż jissejjaħ beaver b'isem ta' saja li kien joqtol il-mostri biex jiddefendi l-bnedmin. Il-hoop snake li kien jirrombla f'kobba meta kien jiġi affaċċjat mal-edewwa kienu jarawh jimxi f'forma ta' ċirku. Il-blood clot boy, magħruf ukoll bħala Blackfoot, katojis, twilet minn qatra dem. Kaċċatur kien irrifjuta jitma' lill-kunjati tiegħu mill-laħam tal-kaċċa li kien qabad, u mid-dem ta' dan il-laħam twilet katojis, il-Blackfoot, biex jagħmel ġustizzja mal-batut u jikkastiga lil min jiżbalja. Naraw kemm kienu immaġinattivi dawn in-nies. U xi ngħidu aġganti. It-tribù tal-Wabanaki kienu jemnu fil-ġiwakwa. Jew ukoll ċenu jew gewaħku. Dan xi darba kien bniedem ħażin li jew ikkommetta xi delitt jew ġie posseduut minn spirtu malin u għalhekk qalbu saret tas-silġ. U dawn huma l-ġganti kannibali tas-silġ. Araw daqsxejn xi rrakkontaw dawn il-pażama kwodiż parti mit-tribù tal-Wabanaki dwar dan il-mostru. Once, a newly married Indian couple had, according to Indian custom, gone on the long fall and winter hunt. One day, when the man was away, an old kewaku came and looked into the wigwam. The wife was frightened, but she made up her mind at once. She called him Mitukwinsel, or my father. The old kewaku was very proud to be called father. When she heard her husband returning, she ran out and told him that a great kewaku was in the camp, and that he must call him Misilhosa, or father-in-law. So going in, he did this, and the kewaku was still more pleased. So they lived with him and hunted with him. He was very skillful in the chase. When they came to broad and deep waters, the kewaku put them on his back, He could run faster than any wild animal. One day he told his children to go away to a great distance. "There is a great female kawahku coming to fight me. In the struggle I may not know you and may hurt you." So they went away as fast and as far as they could. But they heard the fighting, the most frightful noises, howls, yells, thundering, and crashing of wood and rocks. After a time, the man determined to see the fight. When he got to the place, he saw a horrible sight, big trees uprooted, the giants in a deadly struggle. Then the Indian, who was very brave and who was afraid that his father-in-law would be killed, came up and helped as much as he could. And in fact, so much that, between them, they killed the enemy. The old kawahku was badly but not fatally hurt, and the woman was very glad her father came off victorious. She had always heard that the kawahku had a piece of ice for a heart. If this can be taken out, the kawahku can be tamed and cured. So she made a preparation or medicine and offered it to him. He did not know what it was, nor its strength, so he swallowed it, and it gave him a vomit. She saw something drop, so quietly picked it up. It was the figure of a man of ice. It was the kawahku's heart. She, not being seen or noticed, put it in the fire. When he cried, "Daughter, you are killing me now. You destroy my strengths." Yet she made him take more of the medicine, and a second heart came out. This she also put in the fire. But when a third came, he grabbed it from her hand and swallowed it. However, he was almost entirely cured. Mela rajtu x-rikkezza ta' ħrejjef sibna permezz ta' din il-kultura indjana Amerikana, x'ħassra li dawn it-tribujiet u l-istorja tagħhom indifnu magħhom. Forsi għaliex ħadd ma jrid jiftakar dwar il-massakri li għerdu lil dawn l-Indjani, jew forsi tagħmel inessi lid-dinja li dawn in-nies kellhom ħafna proprjetà u ttieħdet minn għandhom mill-Ewropej li daħlu, invadew u ħatfulhom kull ma kellhom. Għajb. Għaliex dawn huma l-eruq tal-poplu Amerikan. U xiera li fl-aħħar żewġ programmi ta' din is-sensiela nitkellmu dwar l-eruq tagħna u dan se niskopruh permezz tal-ħrejjef. Sa dak it-tant jiena Magda Juice insemmilkom.